Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. How are you doing today, everybody? Everybody all right? Are you glad you're here? Yeah, some of you are glad you're here, and some of you are here by court order, but we're glad you're here just the same. Thank you for coming out. I'm going to take a different subject today. I can tell you I've been a minister for several centuries, and I've started in the late 1800s, and I'm going to talk on something I've never talked on before in church. It's something I've never preached about before. I'm going to talk for a few moments about the power of laughter, the power of laughter in our life. There are studies that show there are great benefits to laughter, that people who laugh on a regular basis are healthier, they live longer, they have better relationships, they make better decisions. There's all kinds of benefits that come from laughter. It reduces blood pressure. Like, I'll just go ahead. Like, you know, like, some of us need to do that. It releases tension. You know, like, it. That's all right. I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna have some fun without you today. Here we go. It activates your body's natural tranquilizers that helps you sleep better. That if you were to watch something that made you laugh before you went to bed, rather than watching like SUV, yeah, that's, yeah, looking out the window at your SUV. But rather than watching Law and Order or some creepy, scary show, like watch something funny, you know, like, well, I don't have cable, then just sit there and stare at your funny spouse, you know? I mean, but laugh. And you'll actually sleep better. Studies show that it strengthens your immune system. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. It strengthens your immune system. It releases endorphins that make you feel better. In life, like, life is heavy. There's a lot of stuff going on around us. Do I even need to talk about the election? Like, seriously? Like, life is... that was not a joke. That, you know, but you know, like, but it's easy to get weighed down with stress. We have bills to pay, children to raise, you know, husbands and wives that, you know, can stress us out. You know, things get to us, pastors, church members, you know, I mean, you know, like, there's so much stress. And so, it's interesting to me that in our lives, like, everything can get very intense. Like, everything can get very focused, and we get to the place where we never laugh, and we're burdened down with life. In fact, I know people who once had a great sense of humor, and life took its toll on them, like betrayals and heartaches and unforgiveness and issues and loss of jobs and loss of family members, and now it's all work and no play. They're just so focused, and eventually it's easy to get sour in life where everything just gets so very serious. And there are studies that show there are benefits from laughter, that people who laugh live longer, they have better relationships, they make better decisions. There's all kinds of things that come from laughter. Here's some of the things, and I'm going to get a little bit more to the science of it in a little while. But let me just tell you, there's laughter. It increases our brain function. Like, we actually think clearer. You know, the amazing thing is that there's a chemical release into our brain that causes us to think clear. Like, you're in the middle of trouble, you're in the middle of, like, all kinds of stress, and something makes you laugh, and it lightens up the way that you're thinking. Like, things get defined better. That there are studies that show that when people have, like, a particular problem, and even a group of people that are trying to work through something, and there's some laughter that takes place in the office, they can't get through it, and then all of a sudden they start to laugh together about something, and then right after that they're able to solve the problem. There are studies that show that we become more creative when we laugh. that there are things that happen in our brain that cause us to become more creative, that normally we think with the left side of our brain, but when we get when we begin to laugh, we think with the right side of our brain, and there are different chemicals that are released, and we start to view things and circumstances and life from a different perspective just by the virtue of laughter. Laughter brings down walls. Like, it's amazing how small the distance between two people can get when they laugh together. Like, the things that separate us when we laugh, it causes us to, our defenses come down. The people that we were angry with or mad at, they make us laugh, or we make them laugh, and then all of a sudden, it seems like we're close to them again. Humor can open the door to reconciliation. People that laugh are irresistible. I've gone to conferences, and when I've gone to conferences, there have been times when you stand outside the door at a conference, like out in the corridor, and they can play music, and like nobody goes in, or maybe it's not your kind of music, so you don't go in, and maybe somebody's speaking, you can hear them speaking through the door, but like it doesn't draw anybody in, but somebody start to make the congregation or the crowd laugh, and as they laugh consistently, like everybody, the servers, the attendants, people want to go inside because they want to find out what's funny. There's something that's attractive about laughter. There's something beautiful about that. And you know what they say when you're dating? That one of the things that attracts us to a partner is not, you know, people say like their eyes or their mind or their parts of body or whatever it is. But you know what they say is one of the most sexy things about somebody? Sense of humor. Like, it causes you to be attracted to other people. It's irresistible. I don't think it's by any chance that one of the longest running show on ABC and one of the longest running shows on television is America's Most Funny Videos. It's been on since 1989. Honestly, like, we have people in the room that weren't even born in 1989. And that show's been on, it's been through multiple hosts, and yet it keeps coming back because it brings people together. Here's what it says in Psalm 126, verse 2. Psalm 126, verse 2 says, "We were filled with laughter, and we sang for joy. And the other nations, they observed it. They took note and said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them." When you laugh, people will pay attention. When you laugh, people will notice that you're laughing. And you know what? It's also a sign that you're redeemed. It's also a sign that God's working in your life. Like, what do they have to be happy about? They have the joy of the Lord. Now, let me just talk for a few moments that I understand that there's a difference between joy and happiness. Like, when you go through trouble in your life, many times, like, you can walk through trouble and not necessarily feel happy. But you can walk through that with joy. Joy is something that sustains us. It's the joy that's before Christ is why he said he went through the cross. Joy sustains us in life in difficult moments. And so here's one of the things that I've observed. It's possible to have joy and not necessarily be happy. But on the other side, I've been contemplating this for a while. It's almost impossible to have laughter and happiness and not have joy. Somehow, happiness and laughter is connected to joy. So I think that God has placed inside of us the ability for us to have laughter. There are so many people that are so beaten down. There are so many people that life has taken its toll on them. They have heartaches and business problems and all kinds of issues in their family, health problems. They've been discouraged. They've been hurt. They've been betrayed. They've walked through disappointment in their life. We should make it our business to laugh. We should make it our business to find things to laugh about. And you might say, well, why would we do this? First of all, because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. There are chemicals in your body that get released only when you laugh. And those chemicals, they bring about well-being. They bring about health to you. They bring about joy. They bring about reconciliation. They bring about things in your life that nothing else, and yet God has given that to us naturally in our body. There's a healing power in laughter. In fact, I recently saw a study where there were people who were in hospitals and they were in long-term care. They couldn't seem to move forward in their health, and they were in long-term care, and they took these individuals out of their hospitals, out of their rooms, took them down to a city park near them where children came to play from a school. And they would allow them to sit out there for an hour. And when they sat out there for an hour and just watched children laugh and play, their recovery began to move forward faster. And the interesting thing was, they weren't the ones that were necessarily laughing. They were just watching someone else laugh. Your laughter can have an effect on the people around you. Your laughter can bring health. When we walk into the room, honestly, we shouldn't be so glum and so sour. Instead, we as the children of God ought to walk in with a smile on our lips. We ought to walk in with laughter in our heart. We ought to walk in with joy. I thought it was pretty amazing that they started into their recovery by someone else's laughter. Did you know that it's possible for you to stay young by laughing? When you laugh, what they call the youth hormone increases by 87%. I need to laugh some more. Here's the deal: is I love to laugh. I love to laugh at inappropriate times. You know, I love to laugh when everybody else is being serious. I'm gonna find something to laugh at, and seriously, it keeps me young. You'd never know by looking at me that I'm 77 years old. You know. But there's something about laughing that keeps us young. And here's the reverse of that: have you known somebody in your life that's walked through a heartache or walked through some kind of great trouble, and you hadn't seen them for a year or two, and then when you see them the next time, they look like they've aged 20, 30 years, and it's only been a year or two? Because, see, stress has that effect on us. And when we don't laugh, we lose that youth hormone in our bodies. God's already given us the ability to live and stay happy. Jesus came to this earth in John 10:10. It says that he came that we would have life and live it to the abundant, that we would live it to the fullest. We get so out of whack. We're so out of balance that we're so focused and so serious. And I understand the need to be serious about stuff, but there are so many places in our life where we've just simply gotten so serious that we've forgotten how to laugh. We've forgotten how to have real joy. Your immune system is made up of millions of cells that fight sickness and disease in your body. And there are some cells called the NK cells. And the NK actually stands for anything that they're natural killers for anything that comes into your body that's foreign. And so these NK cells, they go after cancer. They go after viruses, after bacteria, anything that's happening in your body that's foreign to what God created it to be. These NK cells go after it. And you increase your NK cells when you laugh. It's automatic that you're building up your immunity. Studies show that people that laugh more often, their NK cells go way up. Here's what it says. Are you ready? Proverbs, the 17th chapter and the 22nd verse. Science is just finding out what Scripture said a long time ago. A happy heart is good medicine, and a joyful mind causes healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bone. When you get around people and you can know, like, to the core of who they are, like, they're just dry. I'm like, man, you just need to laugh a little bit more. This last week, I was home. I had a cousin that passed away, and we loved her dearly. She was that one cousin that everybody loved, you know, because, you know, in every family, you have that one cousin that everybody loves, and then you have that one cousin that nobody loves. Like, you know, well, some of you aren't laughing because you are that cousin to some people, you know, but no. In any case, this cousin was so sweet, and she had battled cancer for quite a while. And so me and my sisters were going home for that, and all of the cousins were kind of coming in. And the interesting thing, that as we were, you know, when you get together with family, in our family, we tell stories. Like, we tell the family stories and the crazy things that happen. And we had some crazy stuff that happened in my family because my grandparents came from Czechoslovakia. And when they came to America, they built a three-story house with a lot of rooms in it. And as their kids grew up, they had four children. As their kids got older, they would just simply take a couple of rooms in the house and turn them into apartments. And then when they got married, these kids would stay in there and have their kids. So over the course of several decades, literally, all of my cousins, myself, my sisters, we all lived in our grandparents' house. We have a really common history, and we'd all gather at their house, and we lived in their house for many years. And so my cousin, he's elderly now, and he was telling, and he used to be really a ruffian. He like had a great record. I mean, and I'm not talking like a good record, like everybody loved him. He was like, I'm talking a police record. And so he was really a tough guy, but he was talking about one day that he came over to my grandparents' house. And my grandmother was sitting out on the porch, and me and my two sisters were sitting, we were out in the yard playing. Now, let me give you a little bit of background in case you're new to Christ Church. When I was growing up, we went to church a lot. We went to all kinds of churches, Lutheran church, Catholic church. We went to Baptist churches. We went to tent revival churches. We went to crazy church. We went to all kinds of church. And so, yeah, we did. And so my cousin shows up, and my grandmother from Czechoslovakia, born and bred Lutheran, never saw anything but the Lutheran church. She says to my cousin Bob, she says, what are those kids doing? And he looks over and he says, they're doing what they've seen other people do. And remember, we're church kids, all kinds of church. Here we were, we had this little swimming pool. Do you remember back when you had those swimming pools that you blew up? You know, we had those little swimming pools, just a little bit of water. We had collected all the kids from the neighborhood, and we had all the kids out there, and we went down the line, lined them up, and we were like laying hands on them. Heal them in the name of Jesus. Heal them in the name of Jesus. And then after we prayed for all of them to be healed in the name of Jesus, we baptized them all in the swimming pool. Baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Baptize you in the name. And like he said, they're just doing what they see at church. And my grandmother, like, oh, Jesus. Like, she had no idea. But there's something so bonding about telling those stories and about laughing together. You have to laugh together. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about this chemical that I've been talking about. There's a chemical that we have in our bodies called oxytocin. And oxytocin is naturally produced. And there's all kinds of studies. You can go online later. Don't do it right now. You can go online later and read about this. But here's some of the effects of oxytocin. Oxytocin has the ability to have an effect on the rate of wound healing. Oxytocin, the lack of oxytocin has the effect of heart deterioration. Your heart muscle actually begins to deteriorate if you don't have oxytocin. Oxytocin reduces fear and anxiety. Trust is increased when, thank you. I speak for a living. Here we go. Trust is increased when we have oxytocin in our system. Oxytocin increases, I love this one. It increases empathy. Like we feel compassion to other people when we have a lot of oxytocin in our system. And here's where it has a direct correlation to the people around us. It makes us compassionate to the point of generosity. So it's not just like we feel something. It actually makes us take action. Oxytocin makes us take action. Oxytocin produces an antidepressant. It's a natural antidepressant. And it also produces direct and group bonding in our system. Oxytocin, you can get a prescription from a doctor, but it has side effects and it's negative. But your body naturally produces the best and clearest oxytocin when you laugh. God's put that in our system, fearfully and wonderfully made. Our bodies were not created to be under stress. Our bodies were not to be created to be any other way except when we're even in the greatest of trouble that there should be laughter. And I'll give you one more thing here about this, and that is oxytocin bonds us. There's a bond that takes place in our lives when we have oxytocin. And have you ever been around church and people say in church, like, I feel like church is, I'm closer to the church people than I am to my own family? And there's a reason why that takes place. Oxytocin produces a bond in us, and it's not just a common bond. It's the kind of bond, when I was home, my sister was telling me about an aunt that had passed away, and she had a daughter that loved her. And the daughter was very young, and so the daughter came home from college, and when in the last days of her mother's life, she would lie in the bed with her, and she would just lie near to her mother because it was her mother, and she loved her mother, and she wanted to be near to her mom in those last few days, and she found comfort from being near to her mother in those last few days, and her mother found comfort for her being there. It's the same kind of bond that takes place when a mother has a baby and lies in a bed with the baby. That bond takes place. That is produced by oxytocin. So when we come together to church and we cry together and we laugh together, yes, there are moments in life when we sense that we are more connected with the people in this room than anyone else in the world because we laugh together in the joy of the Lord. And so today we're going to do something a little bit different. And I have to tell you, I love to laugh. I love to tell stories about laughter, and I love to tell stories that that make us laugh. And but we have a young man in our church, and he several years ago in Creative Arts. And if you don't know what Creative Arts is, it's a showcase for the talent of our young kids. And he did a comedy routine. And so this is Pastor Jeff and Cezanne's son. He's Landon, and he's going to come, and he's gonna let you laugh for a couple of minutes. Are you guys ready? Come on, put your hands together for Landon. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Landon Phillips. You may know my dad, Pastor Jeff. Well, let me tell you. It's not easy being a preacher's kid. For one thing, they have their own language. For instance, a couple nights ago, my dad was praying for me and he prayed a hedge of protection around me. And I'm like, a hedge, huh? I don't mean to complain, but is that the best you can do? How about a thick cement wall? Put some razor wire on top of that bad boy. Hedge protection? Good set of clippers could cut right through that thing. I'm sure the devil's got a set of those. Do you think a hedge is gonna scare the devil away? What is this greenery? I can't get through that. Move that bush! My greatest weakness is landscaping! How do they know? Some people, when they pray, they use one word too much. Like my friend, a couple weeks ago, he was praying in connection groups, and he's like, Lord, I just want to, and just, and God, and just, and I just want to just, and justliness, and justification. And you're like, just finish the prayer. You're just not ready for this yet. Start stacking chairs. Come back next week and try again. But some funny prayers are the ones when people pray for their food. Ever heard this one? Lord, bless this food and the hands that prepared it. The hands that prepared it. Why not the whole body? No. Just the hands. But the most funny prayers are the prayers where you ask God to make up for your bad choices when you eat. Lord, bless this bag of Cheetos and this jumbo Dr. Pepper, Lord. Somehow make this nourish us in some way. I don't know how you're gonna do it, Father, but we just trust in you now. Change the molecular structure of this food. This complete trash bucket we're about to shove in our gullet. Turn the Cheeto into a carrot stick on the way down. Spirit of low carb, rain down on me now. I pray a hedge of protection around my pancreas, Lord. Right now. The worst prayers, they gotta be the ones where parents pray for their kids at night. No wonder they don't want to go to sleep. My parents used to pray this for me in the dark. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Sweet dreams. See you in the morning. Maybe, I don't know. 50-50, I can't guarantee you anything. Owen, don't let the bed bugs bite.
Is that just awesome? I feel like I should take a second offering, you know? Here's the crazy thing about this, though. Did you know while you're laughing, literally your body is releasing healing chemicals. God created you that while you're laughing, you're being healed. Like emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, physically, God's healing you while you're laughing here. And you know what's awesome about this oxytocin thing is that it's released into your body and it doesn't have any of the side effects of chemicals that man has made. God's made it that way. And finally, medical science is kind of catching on to what God has been doing all along. You might say, well, Paul, this isn't my personality. Like, I'm just one of those serious people. You know, the interesting thing about that is when we were kids, when we were children, children laugh. Children laugh. They laugh out loud. They giggle at anything. They don't even need a reason, and they laugh. You know what we've done? We've trained ourselves to stop laughing. We've trained ourselves to be older and more mature and more sober and more wise. And let me just tell you, sometimes the wisest thing you could do would be laugh out loud. I've made my mind up like I'm going to laugh. I've made my mind up that I'm going to laugh. I'm not going to turn into a grumpy old man. I'm not going to be old and sour and mean. And I'm going to stay full of joy in my life. When I get into my 40s, I'm going to keep laughing, you know. Yeah, thank you. I'm still going to be having fun, honestly. I'm still going to be cutting up. I'm still going to be telling funny stories. I'm still going to be smiling. I'm still going to be good looking. You know, I'm kind of. Sometimes we think that when we get older, that we should get more serious. Here's what Paul said in Acts, the 20th chapter and the 24th verse. Now, I want you to understand what he's, in this passage right here, he's actually contemplating being arrested in chains, possibly being killed. And here's what he says, but none of these things have moved me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I might finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord to testify to the gospel and the grace of God. He was like, man, I might be walking through trouble, but I'm not going to allow it to take the smile off my face. I'm not going to allow it to take my laughter. I'm not going to allow it to take my joy. Just because you get old doesn't mean you have to get grumpy. Amen. I remember when my dad lived to be 92 years old. And my dad, he carried on. My dad laughed. And I remember one day, right after he moved down here, after my mom had passed away, we were out somewhere, and my dad was in his upper 80s. And we were out somewhere, and he was being serious. He was like, he looked at somebody who was probably, I don't know how old they were, but he looked at him and he said, man, look how bad that old man looks. And I'm like, Dad, he's like 30 years younger than you. You know, and here my dad was in his upper 80s calling someone else old because they looked and acted and thought old. Let me give you official permission today to begin to laugh again. Let me give you official permission today to smile, to be on that edge of getting ready to laugh. We have to retrain ourselves to laugh. Now, let me just tell you one of the things that I've observed. That in our culture, we only seem to laugh at stuff that's off-colored anymore. We only seem to laugh at stuff that seems to be a little bit dirty. We only seem to laugh when, honestly, like if we're medicated. Like if we have a pill and it allows us to let down our defenses and laugh a little bit. We only seem to laugh if we have some alcohol in us. But let me just tell you, all of that stuff, it is just chemically induced when God's already given you a reason for joy. He's already given you a reason for laughter with no side effects to it. So I'm going to release you today. I give you permission. I give you license to laugh again in your life. Laugh again. Laugh at yourself. Seriously, learn to laugh at yourself. Everyone else is, you know? I mean, I'll tell one story. I didn't tell this in the first story because it's questionable in the first service because it's questionable, but I'll tell it anyway. It happened right here in church. One day I was preaching. Becky reminds me of this sermon all the time. Because Becky takes notes. She takes notes for the connection groups and does the questions for the connection groups and they mail them out. And so several years ago, I was preaching on prayer and that we need to pray in great faith and ask God for great things. And don't be afraid to ask big stuff. Ask him to do big things in our lives. And so while I'm talking and preaching, got in a big way of preaching, and somehow I turned the phrase, and I was like, we need to ask some big ask prayers. It was A-S-K, big ask prayers. So she's just simply not let me forget that. But seriously, let's get to the place where we laugh at ourselves. You know, we don't have to laugh at anybody else's expense. I'll just tell one more story again. I didn't tell this one in the first service. This weekend, I was getting ready to go up to the funeral up in Western Pennsylvania. My sister, I saw her somewhere in the building. She's up in the balcony, I think. My sister, her husband used to work for the airline, so she gets to travel on buddy passes, but she has to fly on standby. So we had to get up early in the morning because we wanted to fly together, and her best possibility is to fly early when the flights are still empty. So we decided we were going to take the 5:15 flight in the morning on Thursday morning, I think it was Wednesday morning, and so when I get there, I get up at 2:10 in the morning. For those of you who are wondering, 2:10 in the morning to get to the airport so I can get on this 5:15 flight, go through the check-in line and do all that stuff and get out to the gate. And I text my sister Faith, who I'm flying because she can get there that early in the morning. Are you here yet? And she's like, oh no, I slept in. I'm still in bed. I'm like, so when we got to the funeral, I told everybody that story. Because here's the deal about it is we have to laugh about life. Because here's what we do. Instead, we choose to be aggravated. I don't got up because it was the only time she was flying. Now I had to get up. I only got 2 hours of sleep. And you know what? Instead of being grumpy about stuff, choose instead to laugh. Choose instead to enjoy. Choose instead to make fun of your family in front of everybody. Here's the deal. Let me read a passage with you, and I'm going to close in just a moment. Genesis 26, verse 18. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. Let me tell you what would take place. They would settle in an area, they would build a city, and then they'd build walls around their city, and the wells would send water. Water would flow into the city. When an enemy would come and want to defeat the city, they would come and they would put rocks in the water. They'd put debris in the water, and eventually the water would be stopped up. And when the water would be stopped up after a while, they would have to come out. And when they would come out to get water, the enemy would attack them and defeat them. In your life and my life, we have a well of water flowing into us. The Bible says, with joy we draw water from the well of salvation. With joy we draw water from the well of salvation. But life takes place, and we have hurts, and we end up with stones. We end up with rocks in our water. We end up with debris in that joy that's flowing into that laughter that gives us life. We end up with all of those things, and then what happens is we start to starve to death, and we start to have famine in the city. And so we go out, and many times what happens is we go out looking for water, but what we go out is, when we go out, the enemy is out there to defeat us. And instead of finding the joy of the Lord and laughter that's good and pleasing, laughter that's wholesome, we find the other stuff. We find the chemically induced laughter. We find the alcohol induced laughter. We find the stuff that's not wholesome or pleasant or pleasing to God. And yet, all of those things, they take us in another direction. And I'm not trying to get on some subject today other than the fact that let's laugh and enjoy what God has in our lives. Open up the wells. Here's what he says in Genesis, the 26th chapter. Isaac dug again the wells of water. Some of you need to redig the wells of water and allow the water, the joy of the Lord, to flow in your life. One last story and I'm going to close. Joey Grimaldi was a comedian back in the late 1800s. And he kept people laughing for 40 years. Yet Joey Grimaldi was a workaholic, kind of a perfectionist in his craft. And he was always trying to better his routine. And then after a while, he got to the place where he started to get sick, but he kept working. And he went to a doctor one day, and somehow the doctor missed his name, and the doctor didn't recognize who he was. And after examining him, the doctor said to him, he said, "I can't find anything wrong with you. I can't find out why you're sick." He said, "So I'm going to prescribe for you that you should take some time off. In fact, I'm going to challenge you. There's a comedian coming to town. He's going to make you laugh. So go see Joey Grimaldi." And he sat there and sadly said, "Sir, I am Joey Grimaldi." And 2 weeks later, on stage, after working himself to death, he died on stage. There are some of us, like, we're going to work ourselves into such a place of perfectionism, in such a place where our hurts, all of the things, they've stopped up the wells of laughter in our life. And that's not the plan that God has for us. One last passage, Job, the 8th chapter, in the 21st verse. Job is a man in the Bible who lost everything. He lost everything, and yet listen to what he writes. "He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy." I don't care what you've walked through. I don't care the heartache. I don't care the pain. I don't care all of the issues of life that you've walked through. Listen, there's laughter yet ahead for you. God wants you to be healed. God wants you to be whole. God wants you to see life through a different perspective. He wants you to laugh again. And so today, I'm giving you a prescription. Find a place to laugh. Find a place to laugh and laugh often. Let me pray with you.